The passing of Don Shula, the NFL's all-time winningest coach, and the architect of the NFL's only perfect season, and the person who put Miami sports on the map more than any other. Around the horn and around the home with Mina Kimes and Pablo Torre and Israel Gutierrez. Israel, Miami born and bred. I'll start with you. What does Don Shula mean to the city of Miami and to the Dolphins and the NFL?
Yeah, well, it's interesting that this happens now while this Jordan documentary is happening, because it just seems to put a little bit of perspective on that time. And I think when you think about Don Shula's career down in South Florida, and you realize not only did he come in and win a championship in a way that still hasn't been copied, right, the undefeated season, but he sort of carried the flag for South Florida sports for decades. If you think about, if Don Shula wasn't as consistently great of a coach and didn't have these, you know, high-level teams year after year after year, what would the South Florida landscape have looked like after that? It wasn't until 1993 that there was another professional team down here, and yet South Florida was still considered respected. The Dolphins were absolutely relevant, and it was in large part because of one man sort of bridging the gaps between the generations. And even just living until 90 and being around other generations of sports fans down here, and parents and grandparents telling the story of Don Shula, even today young kids recognize sort of the measure of respect he commanded down here and what he did for South Florida sports.
Mina Kimes, I'll bring you in here, being a football analyst as you are and a historian in some way as well. What does Don Shula mean to the sport of football and to the franchise of the Dolphins?
Well, he is unambiguously one of the greatest coaches in the history of the sport. You'll hear about the undefeated season or the fact that of 33 seasons, he only had two losing ones, which is remarkable. But what strikes me most looking back is that he didn't do it only with the Hall of Fame quarterbacks, and he coached three of them. In 1981, after Bob Greasy retired, the Dolphins went 11-4-1. Very few people can name the quarterbacks from that year. I saw a stat that blew my mind today. Don Shula coached 68 games where he started a backup quarterback, and he won 49 of them. That is why he is one of the greatest to ever do it.
Incredible. Wow. Yeah, I think it was five championship games, Super Bowl or NFL championship game, different quarterbacks in five games as well. Pablo Torre, what does Don Shula mean to the NFL?
I mean, he has an unimpeachable coaching resume, as we know. He had an unimpeachable jawline. Just one of the great faces, one of the great skulls in sports history. And in a sport that's so hard to isolate greatness in, right? Like, everybody's accomplishment statistics are all hinging on other people in a way that many sports, we don't see that. He did this over three decades, a Super Bowl in the 60s, a Super Bowl in the 70s, a Super Bowl in the 80s. And he did it playing different styles, really old school, obviously, in Baltimore in the 60s, then all the way to Dan Marino, right? And opening up that offense, modernizing the game for everybody else. So just tremendously and unimpeachably singular in this game.
That's very much a family tree of almost the start of the NFL to the modern NFL. And you brought it up, Pablo. I agree with you 100%. When you think of NFL coach in a couple ways, you think of Vince Lombardi. Maybe you think of the look, Mike Ditka or Hank Stram. But for me, it's also Don Shula, the way he dressed, the slick in the hair. And that also brought in a little Miami, because he was always perfectly tanned as well. Thanks for your thoughts on the legend Don Shula. We move on to buy or sell now. And the order of business, Andy Dalton. Not the Patriots, not the Jaguars, not anybody else, but the Dallas Cowboys. Who had that? Up to $7 million in the contract to back up Dak, or maybe .. I don't know. The number of players the Cowboys have signed and paid, not named Dak Prescott, over the last 2 years is expanding faster than all of your backgrounds. Mina Kimes, do you buy or sell the Cowboys signing Andy Dalton?
I'm buying it, but I'm selling the idea that this has to do with Dak's contract. This is about Dallas recognizing that they have a very good football team. And much like the Saints, when they brought on Teddy Bridgewater because they knew they had a very good football team, they wanted one of the best backups in football and got a great deal. I've seen argue that this is leverage they can use to stop Dak from holding out for a couple games. There's no reason for Dak Prescott to hold out, right? Because they signed him to an exclusive franchise tag. Well, he has to sign it. But as of July, he will not be able to sign a long-term deal. deal with Dallas. He'll play under the tag. There's no reason. He gains no leverage from holding out, and the Cowboys gain no leverage from holding Andy Dalton over his head.
So there are no dots to connect that Andy Dalton. Maybe the Cowboys could say, you know what, we're happy enough with Andy Dalton and just sit on it, Dak Prescott. You believe there's no dots connecting. I accept that representation. Pablo Torre, buy or sell Andy Dalton to the Cowboys.
So I buy Mina's theory of leverage here, but I also buy the fact that if I'm Dak Prescott, I'm connecting all sorts of dots in my mind right now. I'm connecting the two dots that say, wait a minute, this dude had the chance to go to the Jaguars and potentially be a starter, and instead he came to back me up. That's worrisome. And then I am absolutely, like, calling Dak Prescott, if I am Andy Dalton, to explain, hey, man, like, I know if things go wrong and I know if you get hurt, I'm going to come in and this offense is so stacked and talented that I'm going to probably put up great numbers. But just know that I am not rooting for that. I am from Dallas. I wanted to stay home. I'm not here to threaten you. Please believe me.
Mm-hmm. Israel Gutierrez, buy or sell the Cowboys with Andy Dalton.
I mean, I'm selling it as it pertains to Dak Prescott, because if you want to connect dots, he probably actually connected a dot from Cincinnati to Dallas and tied a string together and said, I'm coming home, because that's where he's from. He's from Dallas. And in this, pandemic time, we want to be closer to home. He won't have to move his family. So it just seems like a perfect situation for him as a backup, even when you consider that he had other starting options available to him. As it pertains to Dak, if you look at the only other two guys that have played out their contract on a franchise tag, that's Kirk Cousins and Drew Brees. Worked out well for them, but I'm pretty sure it's going to work out pretty well for Dak. He's not
all right.
Pulled out.
So Mina Kimes and Israel Gutierrez not connecting any dots. I'm giving points to that. I can't connect any more dots than I can here, Pablo Torre, other than to say I think you need to water some of your plants behind you. Take a seat and watch this showdown between Mina Kimes and Israel Gutierrez. And here we go. All right, we do this every Monday, but The Last Dance, again, incomprehensibly awesome. And how can I get a 10-part doc on the Dream Team scrimmage? Mesmerizing. Also last night, Mom being responsible for Nike, and the Republicans buy sneakers too, and Kukoc and the Knicks, and the security guard, and Ahmad Rashad, and Sinbad, yada, yada, yada. A lot to get into. The number one revelation from The Last Dance last night. Mina Kimes, first to you.
There was a lot. For me personally, it was really enlightening, and I thought helpful to see Tony Kukoc's career put in perspective that way, or at least the beginning of it, knowing what he overcame, both coming from a war-torn country and then walking into a very dicey situation in Chicago, and not only proving his mettle in the final, in the Olympics, but pioneering a path for European players everywhere. He was an important part of that team, and it was good to see that represented.
Israel Gutierrez?
Not only, my greatest reaction was to Jerry Seinfeld's joke, that's not going to work, I'd get that out of there, when he was leaving the locker room, but the only human being that I have seen to successfully trash talk Michael Jordan and, you know, tell the story about it is sitting right there, John Michael Wozniak, the late John Michael Wozniak, sadly, the security guard who beat them in that quarters game and trash talk with the shrug. I mean, come on.
An incredible character, an incredible look. And an incredible point for Israel Gutierrez. You are today's champion of Around the Horn, Sports Center Edition, 30 seconds of FaceTime.
Thank you, Tony. And from one really good look to another not so good look, and that's in Chicago with Mitchell Trubisky, the Bears not picking up the fifth-year option on him, as if he wasn't already reading the signs here when you bring in a Nick Foles, not just any backup quarterback, but the backup quarterback who has won a Super Bowl for you. And, you know, it's not exactly votes of confidence here and there, and now it's just this short of a time period. I'm telling you, if I'm Mitch Trubisky, if I don't have confidence in myself, nobody's going to have it in me. I'm kind of pulling for him now.
Okay. Israel Gutierrez, today's champion. We're on a 23-hour and 50-minute break. Let's see if I can accurately throw this. Yes, I think that counts. There we go. Back to SportsCenter. I didn't want to Trubisky it. Oh!